Welcome back, everybody. For this one, I sat down with Deepak Atyam, co-founder at Hashbranch, sponsor of the show. I want to learn more about their Second Life strategies. They are an aggregator. They help people deploy Hashrate. I work with them very closely. They're good partners of mine. I want to talk to him more about his vision around the brand and where they want to take the Second Life business, let's call it. Enjoy the show. Let me know what you think in the comments. All right, everyone. I'm here with Deeps. Hello, Deepak. How are you doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Bit late where I am, but you know, we pull through. We give it our all. We are recording at block height 893681. And I have got questions for you, Mr. Deepak. Are co-founder at Hashbranch. You guys are obviously a sponsor of the show. So thank you first and foremost for that and making this possible and enabling me to take a bunch of work off my shoulders to help with frequency of the show coming out and sustainability of the show lasting. So again, thank you very much for you guys in doing that and supporting me.
Proud sponsors.
Yeah. I wanted to have you on. I had Tom on about a year ago to talk about Hashbranch. Now we've got you on. And yeah, we're going to talk about Hashbranch again. A lot has changed since then. I think to give people a bit of a background, and again, since things have changed, it might make sense to talk about Hashbranch and what Hashbranch is today, what your guys' mission is, and what you're trying to achieve. So let's start there.
You got it. So thank you for the introduction, Jesse. So my name is Deepak. I'm a co-founder of Hashbranch. I'm the COO right now. And what we are is a mining investment platform. Hashbranch was created to find the best yield on investment deals. I started into the Bitcoin mining industry after I exited my first company, and I wanted to jump in to identify how to invest in mining here in the US. And it took me, somebody that's pretty savvy with technology and performing research, 12 months to gain the conviction to actually invest my money in the US. And over time, we kept identifying that this was a lot of friction points with making these investments. So Tom, I, and our other partner at the time, Austin, we created Hashbranch to become the mining investment platform so people can invest with some trust, transparency, and security for these investment deals. We believe that incentives should be aligned, and we want every individual that's jumping into mining to invest with the highest yield with aligned incentives. And all of this is powered by our hosting engine on the back end. And so we can dive into that in just a bit.
Yeah, no, we can jump into that now. There are some hosters who tell me, like, you know, they have plenty of rec space available. There are others who tell me, no, I really need no customers at all. Like, I'm good. How do you see the hosting market right now? Do you have a lot of demand coming in with Bitcoin price where it is or hash price where it is? How do you guys see the current market as it stands?
Great question. I don't see the hosting market changing too much year to year. I think the hosting market is going to stay extremely strong. To parallelize how our industry works, we work in a very similar structure to traditional data centers. Traditional data centers work in either self-running capabilities or co-location capabilities. We see ourselves as a co-location engine on the back end, but we are powering this engine through services that we offer. We perform the front office operations for these mining facilities. We perform customer service. We perform billing reconciliation. We handle challenges as they come and make sure customers have successful experiences. And we actually offer relocation guarantees. If something is not up to specifications or standards that we've agreed to, we'll relocate those ASICs to a different location that we have under our management to make sure that these customers are happy. Jumping into the question about how is the mining ecosystem or the hosting ecosystem playing out, hash price is at all-time low. It is not a ideal time to like try and get every profit out there, but it actually is a opportune time to invest in mining. If you are ever starting to jump into mining for the first time, do not buy your equipment first. Identify where you're going to place it first. That is the biggest thing that's the most important that a lot of people unfortunately do not know. You want to know where it's going to be located first, your home. So the idea of hosting comes in a few different factors. Hosting, it does not just come at an electricity rate or a hosting rate. One should not look at choosing a hosting company or a location simply because of a hosting rate. You want to choose a platform to work with based off of a variety of factors. Some of these factors are: what is the uptime? How often is your server going to be running and generating revenue, and then that translating into profit? You want to make sure that the climate that you are having a mining machine in is a good climate. These mining servers don't run well in super hot climates as they produce a lot of heat themselves. So you want to find somewhere with cooler climates, with less humidity, because that's what pulls heat away from these servers themselves. You also want to find a platform that has staff on site, repair capabilities on site. These machines are being run at very, very extreme like conditions, 100% uptime, your goal, and they are pushing these machines to the limit. And these machines are unfortunately not all MacBooks. They cannot run at 100% uptime for 6 years. They are made to different standards and qualities, and that's just something that we have to address when identifying what hosting space you should work with. So these are factors that sort of go into identifying good hosting facilities. And the hosting market, there is a lot of rack space open, but it is not monetized well. And the incentives are not aligned for a lot of customers to deploy with different rack space options that are available. And that's something we do at HashRanch. We align the incentives through different contract structures like profit sharing, rev sharing, management structures, so that we are only incentivized as you are generating profit and value at the end of the day.
This episode is sponsored by HashBranch, the easiest way to mine Bitcoin in the US. Sourcing hardware and rack space usually is a mess. Bad deal structures, misaligned incentives, and no visibility after deployment. I have placed tens of thousands of ASICs in partnership with HashBranch. What I like most is that they cut through the noise. Fair pricing, aligned terms, and access to hosting that actually works. Use code HASHRATEUP100, visit hashbranch.com today to get $100 off of each miner that you order. Being in this game myself, right, of course, you want to be sort of a customer-facing platform. You want investors to have a good experience, but you're also providing a ton of value, as you said, to the hosters themselves or whoever runs the machines, right? You being that wall. Now these guys don't have to deal with, you know, 100 clients. They have to deal with one. And there's a lot of value in that. How do you explain to your customers that you being a middleman between the host and the customer is actually a good thing and doesn't increase their pricing unnecessarily?
So it's a good question. I like to use the term a platform because we offer platform services. What we do is we contract rack space in different locations all over the US. The benefits of us being able to contract rack space that we're able to have efficacy to drive results with is that we have options. And these options come with different strategies. There are some locations which have lower uptime but good serviceability, which are better for older machines. There are some rack space options that have higher uptime and that might have immersion capabilities that are better for machines that are built for those locations or for those environments. If you're simply choosing to find a hosting option in one location, I think you ideally find a great hosting partner that has worked with those machines and has provided good servicing. But when you need to transition away from that one hosting provider, where do you go next? What we've identified at HashBranch is that there is a life cycle for each of these ASICs. The first couple years of this life cycle, these ASICs, because they came in at a premium and they are new machines and they are purchased for a relatively large sum of money, need to be generating a large amount of revenue. And that is going to drive your bottom line for profitability. And I'm going to talk about this term of break-even time, the time it takes for you to generate enough profit that actually pays off the cost of the equipment.
Yep.
In order for any investor or miner in the space to break even at the optimal time, they need to be running at the highest efficiencies. If you have lower uptime, then you have challenges with generating enough profit in order for you to break even quicker. So what we offer as differences of the platform is the opportunity to make sure you perform and you are in high uptime environments in the beginning, but they might be a little bit more expensive because they provide that reliability. And then have the opportunity to transition to lower uptime, lower cost opportunities that provide great yield on your investment and return. And we are the only platform that does this for the full life cycle. And we extend the profitability of your ASICs by 2 to 4 years. So our goal is to continue growing that.
Let me interrupt you there quickly, because and I say this frequently, and customers of mine that listen, they will have heard this from me as well. I came out with the Proof of Prudence series, 10 guidelines, blah, blah, blah. And one of them was sign your hosting contract first, what you said earlier, right? Find your hosting, find your Rackspace first before you buy the machine. Another thing that I frequently talk about is you need to be able to resell your machine, because otherwise, talking about break-even times, you are in general not going to be making the same amount of Bitcoin that you could have bought instead of the ASIC during that life cycle. Now, you are saying second life, almost like second life batteries, like you want to repurpose the machine, you want to do something. So what are the strategies there? You can sell the machine. You can host it under different contracts. You can tell me what that looks like. Are there other options? And what do your customers tend to do?
Yeah, I think we can break it down to fundamentals. Any person investing in mining is looking for a yield on their investment. A yield is generating some amount of profit over your base return. You have a few options when you get to a point where your ASIC is not as profitable as you want it to. Every single ASIC through the lifespan will have a depreciation relative to the hardware value and the hardware life. So that will go down. We theorize it close to 3 to 4% month over month to give you some idea. In addition to that, there is a factor of difficulty adjustment. So as difficulty continues to climb, your profit margins in a Bitcoin sense will go down. Depending on the type of machine you have and the factors of the market, your cash over cash yield may stay the same, which is a unique structure we can talk about. But the options on the table really are, how do I get liquidity for my hardware, or how do I generate more yield on my investment? And so we provide both of those options for customers. And I think most customers are looking, if they invest in mining, to continue DCAing into the Bitcoin market by generating more yield for longer. And so I think that's the next best step for most of these customers that are jumping into mining or already in mining. They want to extend their profitability. Instead of losing out of profitability at the 3-year mark or 2-year mark, how do you extend it 1 to 2 cycles more? And I think that's what people really want. They either want liquidity to reinvest into new ASICs, or they want to extend their profitable lifespan as much as they can.
I think what's also important here is timing, right? I mean, I bought an S19 a couple of years back for $3,000 and then sold it for $12,000. You don't want to sort of anti-cyclically ride that wave where it moves in markets. I mean, right now, for instance, ASICs in Bitcoin terms are as cheap as they come, right? Has never been cheaper, I think. And so that second option, which you can tell me what that looks like in practice, gives you also an option to correct that cycle, so to speak, right? You don't want to sell your ASIC now, where in Bitcoin terms it's relatively cheap to sell. You kind of want to sell it when Yeah, when the revenue for the machine is much higher, and if you can extend its profitability and runtime until that point, of course, that's a big benefit, right?
Absolutely. It's like finding liquidity at the right times. If you are running close to end of profitability at end of year two or end of year three, at the end of your hosting contract, you are going to be incentivized to liquidate. Yet, if you can extend profitability 2, 3, 4, even 5 years more, then you have more opportunities to liquidate and find liquidity for your hardware at a better price point, 100%.
Yeah. What does that look like if you don't sell your machine? What do customers do?
So, Jesse, you and I worked on a great deal with the team. We had a customer that had over 13,000 units that was not finding profitable options here in the U.S. to host and to run. What we did is we sourced the market for the right partner that was going to come in and be able to run a profit sharing structure and be able to underclock the machines to get more efficient output. Each machine has the ability, or most machines have the ability to underclock, which means they generate less Bitcoin, but they use less electricity. And so if you can underclock and you can tune these servers in order to generate a higher yield per unit of electricity, then you're extracting more yield for a longer period of time. And so what we did is we found a home for these 13,000 machines. And that was a huge deal because if we didn't do that, these machines will likely have to leave the domestic US market. We here at HashBranch want to keep things domestic as much as possible, but understand there are other structures later in the lifespan that may be different risk points, but maybe more profitable in different locations. So it is a moving game. There is likely never going to be one hosting option that is going to maximize your profit for the lifespan of your investment. And we've recognized that. And we're basically creating the systems and structure to allow customers to stay profitable throughout the extended lifespan as much as possible.
There was a press release, right? So we can name names. Why do you, first, before we get into that deal more, why do you want to keep it domestic? Why is HashBranch US only today?
Yeah, so there's a couple of reasons we want to keep it domestic. One, I personally, as a previous business owner and another current business owner, believe business entrepreneurship, as well as business ownership, is strong here in the US because of our regulations, our ability to like weather challenges that come our way, and the relationship that we have with the government to strengthen economic activity. I grew up here in the US, I grew up in Los Angeles and want to continue growing monetary policies as well as like economic action domestically. And the more and more, like, the US is a strong business opportunity for people that are jumping into mining. We have a lot of investors coming from Europe because they're looking at more stable investment markets. That's why people invest in the US. Relative to economic situations, we believe the domestic US capability is going to continue growing and continue to stay very strong. But the challenges are with these prices. The average prices for US electricity is higher than it is in other market segments relative to the Middle East, relative to Latin America. But what we offer domestically is security. And security is a very, very big part of the equation. There is political security, there is legitimate like physical security that's offered, and business security as well. That's why we want to keep things as close to domestic as possible. But truthfully, we understand that at some point in the lifespan, there may not be a perfect strategy for this piece of hardware, and then there are international opportunities at that point. But we're going to do our best to keep as much of the lifespan domestic here as possible.
Importantly, you know, of course, there's one side to this equation where, and I'm going back to the finding more yield for longer scenario or idea. There's two sides of this coin, right? The one side of the coin says, hey, I've got old machines. They're off. We don't really want to sell them because, again, right now the market is not really giving us a lot for them. We'd rather host them somewhere. And I don't know, enter a 50-50 profit split agreement or whatever. Why are people with Rackspace interested in that? And, you know, does that make sense? Like, why don't they want to just sell straight up hosting at 6.5 US cents and have their behinds covered on all the power bills that they get and stuff like that? Because there is risk to it.
There is risks to it. When you obtain a client, let's just say, so the deal we did was with Merkle Standard, and we think they're a great hosting partner of ours. The challenge of working with large volumes of machines that can dip in and out of profitability at higher hosting rates is a client that cannot pay their bill. So would you rather set a lower hosting rate and then have an upside when things go well, and also be able to obtain some of the downside risk when things aren't going well and extend the lifespan of having a customer segment that is going to continue paying the bills? Those are the risks associated with staying with a fixed fee opportunity at a higher rate or a profit sharing opportunity at a lower rate, closer to the base power rate itself. And I think a lot of these hosting providers want some upside in the actual Bitcoin that's being generated. So because they're opportunistic, they want to extend the customer's ability to stay with them, have some staying power, and have some upside when things go well too.
Fair enough. Yeah, a lot of hosting providers, you know, they will wave it off and say, no, we don't want these old machines. They might be broken or whatever. And in this case, I mean, all of the machines were serviced and everything first. I guess that also changes things.
That was obviously at the end of the day with Rackspace open wants to monetize the Rackspace. Nobody wants Rackspace to be open that is able to be monetized or is monetized and not generating revenue. So we are just doing our best to make sure those racks are fully monetized. And for all parties, the incentives are aligned for making sure they stay up. If you are in a fixed fee contract, you know, you're doing a good job to make sure there's uptime. But if you were in a profit sharing structure and your ASICs are not running, the ASICs of the customer are not running, you're not generating your full profit off of that. So the incentives are aligned for the host to do a great job, and the incentives are aligned for the customers to provide good quality machines at well-tuned like setups.
Yeah, I mean, again, just for the audience, right? It does a couple things. You make and lose together, right? So there has to be a good business relationship between host and hostee. You protect yourself to the downside as the hostee, and the hoster benefits in return from the upside, right? If hash price goes to 80, now everybody's is dancing. Yes, I know the hostee will then effectively pay a rate of 9, 10, 11 cents per kilowatt hour, but that is the deal at the end of the day. And I think it's very lucrative. And as sort of margins get compressed ever more, especially now, I think we had a hash price of 49 or something, you know, the classic hosting model of, hey, you know, I'm going to charge you 8 cents per kilowatt hour or 7 cents. There isn't, in my opinion, room for that in sort of the midterm. And therefore, you know, it has to become a bit more innovative on that front. And yeah, I mean, I want to send hash rate to Africa, higher risk, lower power, and it often is, you know, you have to explain to folks why you don't want to send M60 S pluses or S21 XPs, you know, in these environments, because it simply doesn't really make sense. Yes, you want to make a lot of yield. Yes, you want to have the highest revenue per kilowatt hour, but if your CapEx in return is that much higher, it doesn't really make sense to go that route. Yeah, Deepak, your company is now how old?
We're about 3 years old now.
Okay. And now you're focusing on this sort of second life strategy, and what do people do with their ASICs, which is actually good timing, I think. Why? Because, and I don't know if you agree, I don't think we've had ever as many used ASICs as we have now, meaning sort of last gen ASICs in volume are now at an all-time high. And I'm seeing this a lot where you know, lots of old paperweights in some parts of the world are now trying to find new homes. And for the first time ever, we can tackle something like, I don't know, a 25-30% uptime solar project in the southern hemisphere, because now we have the volume of ASICs or servers, as you call them, available to us. Whereas before, I don't know, 4 years ago, 8 years ago, and a couple cycles before this one, we didn't even have the units. You know, they didn't exist. They were all still hashing in the original places where they were installed. So this is, I think, really, really good timing on that one. Are you still selling your hard-mined Bitcoin for expenses like mining hardware, electricity bills, and tax invoices? With Firefish, you can access liquidity in fiat or stablecoins without selling your Bitcoin. Firefish is a peer-to-peer marketplace for non-custodial Bitcoin-backed loans. No credit checks and no monthly payments. Sign up on Firefish today, create a loan request, deposit BTC into a multisig, get funded by an investor, and repay at the end of the term. Collateral is always at least 2x the loan. So if BTC drops by 50%, you may be liquidated. So be sure at any time to top up the collateral as needed. Thanks to the legends at Firefish for sponsoring the show. Use HashRateUp for a 30% discount on the fees and get your first Bitcoin-backed loan today.
Yeah, I would definitely tend to agree with that. We have the largest volume of hardware in the market that's ever been there. The craziest thing about all of this is that the volume is going to continue to grow. And the volume of ASICs that will continue to move out of profitability will continue to grow as well. So it's, what do we do? And in general, for ASICs that are running out of the profitable contract structure, you know, so the volume is going to keep growing. It's going to be a very interesting game that's playing out.
How do you sort of tackle, because there's a lot of Bitcoin companies, there's a lot of shenanigans going on in the industry as well. How do you make sure you stand out as a brand and sort of communicate the value that you can bring to the table? What's your strategy there?
So I'll talk to you personally a little bit about myself, and then you can also look up a bit more information about myself and the team. So I am an aerospace engineer. I got my bachelor's and master's in aerospace. I started my career by 3D printing rocket engines with NASA. I used to work for SpaceX. So I come from the aerospace industry where there's a lot more structure and there's recourse when things go wrong. My first startup transitioned from manufacturing into an energy company, and we sold that company to a public enterprise in Australia. But through this process, we learned that there is good business structure. There are rules that we should enable for commerce to actually flow to make sure when things go wrong, you can chat with a person. We are real people. I've run businesses for 11 years now. We want to make sure things are done right. We are not here to make a quick profit and to watch people suffer. We've seen it time and time again. And the reason why we stand out is because we are trying to do everything with aligned incentives. If you start the foundation of a business or an enterprise or a project with misaligned incentives, how are you going to get to a result where everybody is happy? Aligned incentive does not mean everybody profits the most. It means everybody gets to a point where they are able to get what they can out of the deal, and they are happy that nobody is like changing a course or changing direction or like trying to get more than they need in order to make somebody unprofitable. And so all of this is, how do we create structures with aligned incentives, and how do you do it from the right foundation? My team and I are doing everything with that in mind. With that in mind, is we want to make sure everything, every deal that's done, every person we speak to, we have individuals investing $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $25,000, and I don't think a lot of people in the industry realize that this is a large amount of money. You know, growing up, $15,000, $20,000 is a brand new car. We didn't have that many brand new cars in our family. But when you talk about throwing this much money around, you want to speak with somebody that understands the true value and knows that this is not a small sum of money that people are looking at investing for their growth. Or, you know, we have people investing for their children to put it in a Bitcoin DCA opportunity for their children, for their child's college fund. We don't take that lightly. I don't take that lightly at all. And we know when in customers come to us and people are looking to invest in the industry, we will turn clients away if they have unrealistic expectations or expectations that don't make sense, because we do not ever want to set anybody up for failure, and we'll be fully transparent about the fees. And I think if you find people that are obscuring true pricing, then you're going to find out that there are misaligned incentives. For the customers or the individuals that are jumping into the market, go do your own research. As you jump into identifying people that sell machines, identify the true break-even time. We can help you guys with spreadsheets. We can show you the math. You will find a lot of people obscure the true break-even time for your investment and the true yield of your investment. And they will often sell you machines at very high prices because they don't care about you generating a yield over time. They care about making all of their money up front and locking you into a contract where you don't have any other options but to work with them. So,
and this is where the incentives come in again, right? We want people to come back. So we want to make sure people are profitable, because if they're not, they won't. Right now, a lot of this, and this is where this proof of prudence, 10 guidelines block series was a result of. Currently, this market sort of lives off of people who say, let's just do it. You know, I'm just going to buy two machines. What can happen? If it's gone, it's gone. You know, that's what mostly I feel like the industry lives off of. And that's not sustainable, right? But to be clear, who are the customers that you want or that you are looking for, Deepak? What is your ideal customer? What do they look like, and where do you find them?
So if anybody is in mining, people invest in mining for one of two reasons. They're investing for either a cash denominated return, which is a US dollar or another currency denominated return. And Bitcoin mining is a really, really great way to generate a cash denominated return. Let's just talk about US dollars. For most mining activity, you can consistently return 15, 20, 25, 30% returns in US dollar terms. If you are jumping into mining to generate a Bitcoin denominated yield, so generating a yield on your Bitcoin, you typically need to invest with larger economies of scale. And if you invest with one or two machines that are expensive, you are typically not going to be generating a large Bitcoin denominated yield. And we can walk through the math in some time or on another session, but that is the truth of the economics of how Bitcoin mining works. So for a lot of individuals that invest in real estate, they look for US denominated returns. You know, 20% IRR is a really good investment. And that is very consistent in our industry, if not higher. If you were looking for a Bitcoin denominated return, you typically have to invest with a minimum of $50,000 to $100,000 to get into the economies of scale that matter. What we do on the other side of Hashbranch is we make sure any investor is able to get the highest yield possible with the return profile that they're able to put down or the investment size that they're able to put down. So once again, just like taking a step back, anybody that's jumping in, please do real research and like math it out. Don't just throw money and like hope things are gonna work. It's not how this industry works. Do the math and make sure the investment profile works out for your risk appetite. We can help you with that, but those are the two types of customers that come to us. And the customers that are growing is almost every single customer that has joined our platform is looking to reinvest and regrow their units. And a lot of customers are coming, unfortunately, from a very bad mining or very bad investment situation to start off with. I'll give you an example. We had a customer in South America, in Paraguay. They had $400,000 that were held up in a hosting facility with very, very quickly changing political regulatory environments, where the government at one point almost banned Bitcoin mining because they wanted to impose a tax and generate more value. Where if you have $400,000 in a different country and you have no ability to really like get out of that position, we helped that client find liquidity for that position and then redeploy it in the US with a lot more safety, security, and they are growing. They're continuously reinvesting back through the platform as well. So ideal clients are people looking to invest for the first time or individuals that need great experiences in order for them to have a great yield to keep growing cycle after cycle.
Yeah, I think one more bit on the on the sort of just throwing money at it. Just compare, man. I mean, you know, there's so many service providers out there. They don't make themselves hard to find, right? They market everywhere. All it takes is to, I don't know, search Bitcoin mining on LinkedIn and you'll find a handful. Ask them a simple question. You know, I have $100,000 I want to throw into mining. What should I do? What should I buy? Where should I put it? Why should I put it there? What do I get? Do I get transparency? Can I change my own pool? Do I get a serial number? What happens if the machine breaks? Have a set of questions and see what the answers are. And then, yeah, you know, that's been sort of, and that's why also we work together is because on a lot of these issues we are aligned. And I think that's why this works very well. And yeah, there's just a lot of fed up people out there who have low uptime or who don't know, you know, what their machine is doing. And this is something that I harp on quite a bit, is when people invest, yes, you know, the economic or financial framework for mining is probably not the best if you have two machines, right? We both know that. However, there is a subjective value in education, right? And yep. You can only really educate yourself if the machine, first of all, runs well and you know what it's doing. You know, if you don't know what your machine is doing, you can't change your pools, you don't have any insights, then it's really tough to take anything away from the experience, right? And a lot of my clients, you know, they come to me and say, look, I want to invest in mining and have the sort of same effect that I had when I first bought Bitcoin, right? My learning curve went steep upwards as soon as I held the stuff, because now I need to understand why it's moving. Why is the value changing? What is it? Why is it fixed supply? How does the economy work? Oh, like this goes into the geography and all kinds of other aspects. And you wouldn't have looked if you didn't buy your first $50 of Bitcoin in the first place. And the same thing happens with mining, right? You get your first hash rate online. Yep. Now you want to understand, okay, what is a pool
share? You want to understand what's happening, why it goes down, how to optimize.
Yeah. So I that's subjective value there. Go ahead.
No, there's huge value. And like a category of individuals that I want to like speak towards, if you are a mining fund manager that has a fleet of equipment that need to find a higher yield, talk to us. If you are a individual that has a large amount of W-2 income or income that is highly taxable in the US or additional revenue streams that are looking for tax efficient strategies, talk to us. Like mining is a great opportunity to reduce your tax exposure on a year by year basis and reinvest it in a cash flowing opportunity for you to generate great returns and also depreciate to reduce your tax exposure for that year. So these are people that come to us because they have real needs and they talk to us about their investment, their investment profiles, and they need to generate some yields. Those are the people that we love to speak with. Those like ideal customer segments.
Have you ever calculated the savings? Let's say I have $500,000 and I don't want the IRS to come after me. I now buy machines and I host them. Have you ever calculated the added value that you get from the, I don't know, taxes that you don't pay if you go that route?
Yeah, so there's a few different ways to approach the situation. I'm not a CPA or a tax advisor. But worked with many in the past, and there is a Schedule 179 depreciation, or there are other accelerated depreciations that are built into the system that allows a business owner or sometimes individual sole proprietors to depreciate their equipment at an accelerated rate. So instead of taking a $100,000 piece of equipment, depreciating it over 7 years, you can do all of it at once, or all of it up to 80%, or all of it up to 60%. So there are ways to depreciate that equipment faster than you typically would because it's being used in everyday service. And that for most individuals is taken off of their traditional income. So if you made $100,000 a year and you invested $100,000 in Bitcoin mining, then you have a taxable income that has drastically been reduced. Mm-hmm. So that is the idea between like using Bitcoin mining as a tax strategy or hedge against like a large tax payment.
We should have like example calculation on your website that says, like, you know, if you have, if this is your income and this is the amount of money you have to invest, you know, this is your actual
effective yield,
effective savings, and effective, you know, maybe even effective kilowatt hour discount that you get,
exactly.
Or something like that, right? Deepak, you're also going to Vegas. You're going to go to Bitcoin 2025 in Vegas. We will most likely see each other there. What is your target for a conference like that, where you will probably meet mostly, you know, Bitcoiners and Bitcoin aficionados?
So we love when we can speak to people and like learn about what they're doing, how they're investing. I think one of our first conferences we went to and wore a HashFriends t-shirt, we had people come up to us and says, oh, I've heard of you guys. Like I used you guys to go find hosting. I went to your website. It's awesome. And it's just like so amazing to hear that we're providing real value ministry. And that's awesome. It's awesome to get some brand exposure for people to just know who we are, because you know, we are growing. We're not focused on marketing. We're focused on getting our customers an amazing experience. And so as our opportunity to jump into Bitcoin Vegas, we're going to, you know, grow our brand exposure, but also find the right people that need help. We're going to be speaking with companies that have large amounts of hosting space that are underutilized. So if you are one of those people, speak to us. If you are an individual or an enterprise or a fleet manager that needs to get a better yield on your existing hardware, we're going to be finding you over there as well. Come speak to us. So our goal over at Bitcoin Vegas is to like learn more about the market needs and also to make sure we have the right solutions in place for the customers that come to us.
HashRedUp is sponsored by solomining.de, the place to buy open source home and solo mining devices like the BitX. With about 20 watts of usage, these solo mining devices are perfect to play the lottery from home or from the office. Get 5% off with the code HashRedUp. Thanks to the legends at solomining.de for sponsoring the content. Nice. Deepak, very specifically, if I came to you with $20,000 today, where do you tell me to put it? What do I buy?
It depends on your risk profile. Are you a high risk person? Or are you medium risk person or low risk person?
Which I am one? A high risk person. I'm a high risk.
You're a high risk person. Investor. All right. Yeah. In this market condition, I would actually say Scrypt mining is a pretty good way to jump in a high risk opportunity and DCA into Bitcoin all the same. So I would probably say as a high risk approach, buy an L9 or buy a Scrypt miner, because
it is a very high risk.
It generates a great yield, and these L9s over the last 3-4 years have been the highest, the most profitable single ASIC type out there. It's crazy. And like we run the numbers, so like it's there, but the asset value is a lot more volatile. So what I would say is buy an L9, you want to take the risk, but DCA into Bitcoin by using a system like NiceHash to auto convert to Bitcoin after. So, you know,
I'm a Bitcoin only guy, so I'll push back.
No problem.
You want to run this machine for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, right? The second life cycle is going to be difficult because you're probably going to be hard pressed to find somebody that wants to do profit sharing with a machine like that. I think repairs are also more difficult to do.
Very, very challenging to do profit sharing with altcoin miners.
Yeah.
You know, we can do it with Bitcoin miners.
Plus, I always say to people, okay, why people come to me and say, oh, why not Scrypt mining? Why not this? And I say, like, why? I don't buy Dogecoin, so why would I mine it? You know? Because what happens is to clear that for the audience is you're mining something else, and at the moment that you're mining it, you're selling it for Bitcoin, and then that is, you know, you're not actually mining Bitcoin, you're mining something else, and you're selling it for Bitcoin. But the issue I take with that is I don't buy altcoins, so why would I mine them?
Sure.
Right? Okay, let's say I have that amount of money, I'm not that high risk.
Perfect.
I want to support the Bitcoin network. What do I do? What do I buy? What machine do
I buy?
I'd
say you are going to be spending a higher amount of money on this next strategy, but you're also going to be generating a higher yield. It's to invest in immersion or hydro units. And so immersion and hydro units have a much better joule per terahash efficiency. It is just much harder to find hosting space and also operators that know how to run those machines in the environment well. So my advice to anybody jumping in for high yield Bitcoin opportunities, if you invest in immersion, there are immersion specific machines. Buy those. Don't just buy any machine and hope it converts to immersion. That's not really how it works. And we've learned that from firsthand experience.
Yeah.
If you have the opportunity to find a site that runs Hydro machines, jump into that as well. You know, your constraints are how well is the infrastructure run. But I'd say your next highest level is to jump into a Hydro or immersion play. It is a higher cost point. So you're going to be spending more upfront, but it should be generating a higher yield. And going down, it's going to be going to air-cooled machines.
Higher upfront cost. Talk to me about tariffs briefly, Deepak. How are you guys thinking about tariffs and navigating them?
Yeah, so it's a great question. Tariffs definitely affect the industry. It affects our platform a bit less. The industry has been affected pretty greatly. Our platform is all about commerce in the industry. So when the tariffs were imposed, it simply amplified domestic commerce, and we act as a facilitator, sometimes in the back end, for hardware to move and for hosting space to move. So all we did was, you know, some of these ASIC prices traded at premiums for domestic supply, and some of these hosting providers wanted to lock down customers that needed rack space. So it incentivized people to make deals happen faster. Also, at the end of the day, truthfully, it's incentivizing more manufacturing domestically. So that's how it's affected. It has it's very much affected like ASICs being imported from China, like to cut through. Like it has really affected people purchasing ASICs that are coming from China and abroad, you know, whether they're in Malaysia, Thailand, whether they're in Dubai. Like there are tariffs all around the board. And so what it's doing is it's incentivizing domestic manufacturing and also the secondary ASIC market here in the US. So if you have something domestic, people are going to choose purchasing domestic instead of the hassle, the risk of imports and seizure for like incorrectly declaring value. Our customers are choosing time and time again, identify domestic sourcing to buy domestic and deploy domestic. So the tariffs have really amplified domestic commerce in what we've seen on the platform.
Have you had people, because again, I mean, most of the machines that are available come from Asia, China, wherever. Have you had people decide not to go forward with an investment because of the added cost?
Yes, absolutely. We have had people that did not want to move forward with investment because of the risk profile. But these are individuals that specifically want new machines, and they don't have anything in their mind to change their perspective about having brand new machines, which are only sourced from China. But there are domestic supplies of machines that are not affected by the tariffs. And even on the secondary market, some with OEM warranties, some with aftermarket warranties, and some that have been run in good conditions. So there's options out there. You know, you find the highest value, not in brand new machines. You find a lot of very high value in the secondary market for machines that have been run in less than a year. But the risk associated is you don't know how hard it's been run and what conditions. So that's
where you have a lot of demand for used machines at the moment?
A lot of demand for used machines. A lot of demand for used machines. We have
that's good.
10, 20 megawatts of pipeline of people looking for hosting or procurement in used machine just as of this last week. Yeah.
All right. Nice. Deepak, is there anything to close out that I did not ask that you wish I had?
I think a question I love to be asked is what's the perspective of hash rate as an investment? And I love that to be addressed in the future, because that's why we jumped into mining, is because hash rate, at least in our opinion, is a amazing investment vehicle. And so I'd love there to be more conversations around hash rate is utilized, how hash rate is monetized, but also how hash rate can be added to everyone's investment portfolio as an investment class.
We'll cover that next time.
Sounds good.
Deepak, plug Hashbranch and yourself. Where can people find you?
You got it. Come check us out at hashbranch.com. www.hashbranch.com. We are the mining investment platform. We are your one-stop shop to make sure you have a safe mining experience and you have the highest yield in your investment. Guaranteed. Come check us out.
Thank you, Deepak, for your time. I highly appreciate it.
You
I
got
learned a
it.
lot. We'll talk soon, and I'll see you in Vegas.
Sounds good. Take care.
Cheers,
Thank you.
bye.